Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the new Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's ALLBIRDS.com, code SUPER24.
That is Dan O'Dowd of MLB Network talking about the newest Cardinal, Marcell Ozuna. Always good to return from a day off and have the station still have a license from the FCC. So congratulations, fellas.
Just wondering what the hell that was supposed to mean.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, you guys always seem to be concerned about losing the station's license when I'm gone.
Yes. We didn't, though. No,
everything went
well yesterday. Randy, we missed you terribly. And we're actually glad. I expected this stuff to break yesterday because it seems like every time you take a day off,
something
big happens.
Yep, that's right.
You were gone for the Sam Bradford trade, right? Sam Bradford, Nick Foles.
Right.
And where's Randy?
Yeah, I was in Florida for that.
Well, good for you.
We got you this trade as a gift. It's a return gift.
That.
We're glad to have you back. And so you're welcome.
Thank you very much. It's 3:03 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. The Cardinals acquiring outfielder Marcell Ozuna from the Miami Marlins today in exchange for a package. And before we get to what the Cardinals are going to give up, Marcell Ozuna, Silver Slugger and Gold Glover in left field in the National League in 2017, hit .312, hit 37 homers, drove in 124, had a .548 slug. And as Dan O'Dowd said, in terms of the available bats in trade this offseason, it was Stanton 1 and Ozuna number 2.
Yeah, I just look at this as far as just players at all. Look at the free agent market. Would you rather have Marcell Ozuna or J.D. Martinez? I really think that I would pick Marcell Ozuna due to the fact that he's more of a complete player. Now, J.D. Martinez has a track record, and he's been doing this for a long time, and he hits lots of home runs, but I like the trajectory that Ozuna is on. So the Cardinals found themselves one of the best available players in the game, and they needed him desperately. Could you imagine it if, once again, the Cardinals found themselves on the outside looking in on another prospect? And Craig Mish, who told us a week ago, who we'll have today at 4:15, he said, hey, the Cardinals will get one of these guys. The beauty of it is laying all that groundwork ahead of time. You got the jump on all these teams, and the Cardinals have a lot of prospects, a lot of arms out there. And while it stinks to part ways with a guy like Sandy Alcantara, you're happy to do it for the middle of the order bat. Like, you have other Sandy Alcantaras. You do not have another Ozuna.
And we knew this was going to be a difficult thing for them to do, and they were able to do it. I mean, the Giancarlo Stanton thing was largely out of their control. I mean, they put together a nice offer from all reports, and in fact, I know what Derek Jeter said, that really New York was the best offer for us, which I kind of doubt. I think it's a thing he has to say at this point, but it did look like the Cardinals did their best for him. I love the fact that they then identified the guy they did have a lot of control in getting, and they went and got him. Now, there is some question as to whether or not last year was an aberration. It seems if you look at his career, though, there's been a, like you said, BT, a trajectory forward. Last season was a breakout year for him. Absolutely breakout year, a 900-plus OPS. I hope he does that again. If he does anything like that, the Cardinals found themselves their guy.
No doubt about it. And by the way, Mike Matheny saying today that in a press conference that it's quite possible the Cardinals land another bat too, which figures to be, according to Bob Nightingale, either Josh Donaldson, Evan Longoria, or possibly Manny Machado. Machado doesn't seem realistic for the Cardinals at this stage with the comments from John Mozeliak last night. He doesn't see the Cardinals going down the path of trading a young, controllable pitcher for a player with 1 year left on his contract.
Well, and I know that Machado is going to fetch a lot more than Josh Donaldson probably at this point, but they're in the same boat. I mean, Donaldson is also a free agent after this year. Mm-hmm. So if you're out on one, maybe you're out on another. Like, and Mo also, he went on to say, it's very hard to win those trades. Like, you win that trade if you go on and win a World Series. But outside of that, you are just out some talent if that guy ends up signing somewhere else. So to me, out of those three that Bob Nightingale reported, and once again, who knows what else is going to come up. But Longoria seems to be the one that makes the most sense. And not just for Longoria. For the fact that they also have a closer Kaiser and Colome, who is a great piece, and Chris Archer over there. And they're kicking the tires on all three of these players.
I do know this. If they are to acquire one of those two we're talking about, and Chris Archer's great, and Colome, I would love to have both of those. But if they happen to wind up with Donaldson or Machado, I don't think that's very likely. I don't think either one of those guys. It just seems like a lot of things would have to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly not really sure how interested Baltimore truly is in trading him right now. You've heard both. You've heard both things. They want to, but then, well, maybe they don't really. And if they don't, then he's going to play shortstop for him, which he would play shortstop here, too.
Everybody
They're all over the place.
Everybody probably is available for two young, controllable front-of-the-rotation starters,
if you're Baltimore, you're stupid if you don't do that.
Right, or if you're anybody. If you're the Cardinals and you offer Carlos Martinez and Alex Reyes to the Yankees for Aaron Judge, Yankees are going to think about that, and they might even take it. Right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's no
player. You don't give those up generally.
Right. Cody Bellinger, I don't think there's a player in baseball where a team out of hand just says, no, we don't want two young front of the rotation controllable starters.
I think it was Al Avila that was on MLB Network last night, and he was talking about the fact they were asking him about Fulmer, and a lot of teams have called about him, and there have been a lot of trade rumors surrounding him. And he said, look, you never say no. You listen. You find out. I'm not saying I'm actively trying to trade somebody. If somebody blows you out of the water, though, are doing your club a disservice if, in fact, you just don't at the very least listen. You have to.
So let's try to piece together what's going to happen here with the Cardinals. And Ozuna has to pass a physical before the contract.
How's his UCL? Is it okay?
So far, so good.
I hope so.
Bob Nightingale tweeting that Alcantara and three other prospects are going to the Marlins from the Cardinals in the trade. He also says that the Cardinals are not including Tyler O'Neill or Piscotty or Grichik in the trade. So three prospects in addition to Sandy Alcantara. Last night, Joe Frisaro of MLB.com, who covers the Marlins, said that it would be a package that would include, let me get back to this, a pair of pitchers from among either Alcantara, who's in the deal, along with either Hudson or Flaherty, and then an outfielder. And perhaps that will be Jose Martinez. If we're going to piece things together about the possibility of prospects that don't include Piscotty, Grichik, or O'Neill, that would be my best guess right now, is that you're looking at Flaherty or Hudson along with probably a lower-level guy and Jose Martinez.
And or Harrison Bader is another name they might be very, very interested in. But Martinez has shown that he can definitely do this at the big league level, and he isn't cost-controlled. When I was thinking initially, when I read that tweet, because I thought when this trade happened, all right, they unloaded a Grichik, probably a Grichik more so than a Piscotty, because I don't see the Marlins wanting to take on a lot of salary.
And the A's might be close on Piscotty
right,
now.
Very, very true. There's another rumor that's going around. But with Grichik was in the same position, not necessarily earning potential, because Ozuna is going to earn, they're estimating around $11 million this year in his second year of arbitration. But Grichik ends up going into his first year. They don't want to pay a player that they don't know exactly what he is at this point. You might as well have a guy that you can get at the big league minimum and stick him out there. So Martinez does make sense. Bader makes sense. I would be a little bit surprised if, in fact, the Cardinals parted ways with Alcantara and Flaherty just as high as they regarded him, but to get a player of the type that Ozuna is, maybe that is the price of doing business.
And my guess is the Cardinals are going to want to try to, even though it's I don't see it happening, because the Marlins screwed him out of his Super 2 status, so I don't think he's going to give them any sort of deals when it comes time. So they're going to have control.
In fairness,
over
he wasn't playing well at all when they
right,
did set him down. But
true.
Yes, it was a win-win for the Marlins.
Right. So I mean, in 2 years, I don't see him saying, you know what, let's just get some deal done. I don't want to test the open market.
He's a Boris agent.
Yeah, he's a Boris guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's going to want to see what's out there. But let's worry about 2 years and 2 years, I guess. For this particular exercise, we're trying to figure out what the rest of this lineup is going to look like, who's not going to be in it. If it happens to be Jose Martinez that gets traded, you know what's interesting to me is I was just sitting here thinking to myself, oh my gosh, who's going to be the fourth outfielder now? And then I thought, who gives a crap right now about the fourth outfielder?
Good starting three.
Who cares? I mean, they've got a good starting three at this moment. moment, they're in great shape. And if our biggest concern, if one of our biggest concerns going into next season is, oh, who's going to play, who's going to be that fourth outfielder, their extra man, great. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Eight extra guys. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Marcell Ozuna headed to the Cardinals pending passing a physical. Coming up, besides the Ozuna deal, the biggest story from the winter meetings today is Shohei Ohtani's injury status. We'll talk with the injury experts, Will Carroll, next on 101 ESPN. Last year, Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports wrote a book called The Arm, where he studied Tommy John surgery over the years. And Jeff Passan reported yesterday that there was a problem with the UCL of the newest member of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Shohei Ohtani, the prized import from Japan. Here to talk about what's going on with that situation is our friend, the injury expert, Will Carroll. He's with us on the Lufia's Kia Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Will, with Brad Thompson and Chris Ranji, this is Randy Carricker. Thanks for taking some time with us. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great down here in Orlando. Winter meetings obviously going on. Your local team there getting a great deal for a outfielder. So been an exciting day down here and confusing for a lot of people with this Ohtani news.
Oh, I'm sure. And let's start with, because I think our listeners are familiar with the UCL. A lot of times it ends up being right. Tommy John. But what is the severity of this specific injury?
Well, here's the thing. We don't know the exact thickness of the tear. Now, you know, a ligament, whether it's in your elbow, whether it's in your knee, whether it's in your thumb, you know, ligaments are ligaments, and just think about them like a rope. So if you're going to take a rope and tie it to your truck and tow something with it, you want that rope to be as thick and as intact as possible. You want that best brand new quality rope. But you tow that that boat a couple times, and it's going to fray a little bit. That's kind of where Ohtani is, with small, you know, little frayings and maybe a little tearing. If you think back to Masahiro Tanaka, a couple of years ago, he had a very similar thing. He had about a 10% tear. They let it heal up, and boom, he's back and throwing as well as he ever did. Once it gets above about 25%, some doctors say a third, 33%, that's when the ligament's going to fail. That's when, you know, you see a big chunk out of that rope, and maybe you probably shouldn't use that rope to tow the boat again. That's where you have to go in and replace it. When you do the Tommy John elbow reconstruction, bring in another tendon, pop it in there in place of the ligament, and miss a year of baseball, as far too many teams, including the Cardinals, are familiar with.
Well, Mike Socha and everybody else associated with the Angels, they all seem to feel pretty confident that this isn't going to be any significant problem. Are you as confident as they are?
Well, you know, we've seen pitchers come back from this with the small thickness tears. They're obviously confident enough in it to sign him. It's not like any teams ran away from it. I've talked to several teams. They're like, yep, it was disclosed. Yep, it's a small thickness tear. None of them would actually tell me exactly what they saw in the medical reports. But people that I've talked to said it's very similar to Tanaka's situation. Now, he's already had a PRP injection. That's a very common procedure for this kind of thing, where they take your blood, spin it, put it right back in to help heal it up. That's what happened with Tanaka. We've seen player after player do this. Now, the thing to keep in mind here is the Angels have a terrible track record of keeping pitchers healthy. So Ohtani, as a two-way player, offers an interesting case. If you think back, Cardinals fans, to, I want to say it was 2003, 2004, when Albert Pujols had a partial thickness tear of his UCL. He had to go to left field because he could barely throw. They had to run the shortstop out to him. Mm-hmm. He never had to have Tommy John surgery. Now, he had elbow surgery later on, where they actually saw that the UCL had scarred over. So worst case scenario, you have Ohtani in the same position that Albert Pujols was at the height of his career. You know, what's the worst case here? That he goes out and plays left field and is a power hitter that you just signed for next to nothing? That's not a bad outcome. What's the other worst outcome? That he has Yu Darvish's career? Now, Yu Darvish didn't have a great season this year. He missed a season with Tommy John surgery, but he was pretty darn good before and after. So, you know, if I tell you that Ohtani is about to have Darvish's career for about $75 million less, that's not a bad outcome either, even if he needs Tommy John surgery now or in the future.
Will Carroll,
I don't. He does not need Tommy John surgery now. I don't want anybody to misinterpret that.
Right, exactly. Will Carroll, the injury expert with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. What about, and you mentioned Albert, if he's a DH, what about just the extension of being a left-handed hitter with the right UCL having that tear, and we don't know the thickness of it, but can hitting and extending affect the elbow?
No. The first thing you do is put a brace on there to make sure it doesn't overextend. It doesn't involve the swing. Baseball swing from either side does not load the UCL in any significant way, so it wouldn't have a problem. When we've had players, position players that have gone out and had Tommy John surgery, they've normally come back in 6 to 8 months because they don't have to go through that high-level throwing program. The ligament itself heals in between 4 and 6 months. You're obviously going to take the longer side. Now, Ohtani would actually be more like a catcher. The question is, let's say he had Tommy John surgery tomorrow, and again, he doesn't need it. When could he come back? When could he hit? It would probably be at about the four-month mark, but he would also be doing the throwing rehab on the side, assuming they wanted him to pitch again. So it could be a very interesting case. But, pure hitters can come back much quicker because they don't load the ulnar collateral ligament the same way.
Will the time to heal, I guess if there's time to have this found out and get the PRP injections now, you have a couple of months to figure it out. But with the way you talked about it, one of the worst case scenarios, you plug him out in the outfield, he doesn't pitch much for you. But would potentially like a six-man rotation help him out or limiting his innings somehow, some way? Would that help, or is this thing just going to heal at its own rate anyhow?
It's going to heal at its own rate. What you don't want to do is, pick at the scab. This has got to heal up. It's got to scar over. And if you don't allow it time to heal, you're going to make it worse or at least not let it get better. Now, to the six-man rotation, let me see if I can make this very clear. The six-man rotation is stupid.
Thank you.
It's a bad idea.
Thank you.
First, think back, whether it's the Cardinals or any other team. Find me a team that had a good fifth starter. Even the Dodgers, as deep as they were basically cycling through guys and who wouldn't have held up. The other thing is, why are you going to use your best starters less? You're essentially taking your starter, going from a five-man to a six-man, and taking four starts away from them, roughly, somewhere 25 to 30 innings. Do you want 30 innings less of Clayton Kershaw? Do you want 30 innings less of any of your good pitchers that are going to go out there and do this? The better thing to do would be go the other way. Go back to a four-man rotation, manage the workload. If I could give you five more starts of Clayton Kershaw, five more starts of an Adam Wainwright at peak, that's a good thing. We've seen already that most pitchers aren't going 7-8 innings. They're going 5 or 6. So if we take a guy, give him 40 starts in a year at 5 innings each, that's what, 200 innings? They don't extend themselves as much. They don't see that third time through the batting order, which we know is the toughest thing a pitcher has to do. They don't go as deeply into fatigue and failure, so they're able to come back quicker. You're managing the workload. You're getting them exposed more often. You're not exposing them to hitting, and you're probably going to have healthier pitchers. All the research indicates the five-man is worse than the four-man, that the six-man is worse than the five-man. So why in God's green earth would you go the wrong way with this?
Do you think we'll ever see a time where it goes the direction you're considering?
Yes and no. I don't think we'll go back to a strict four-man, but I don't think we should. I think the four-man is better than the six-man, and it's certainly better than the five-man. What I do think we're going to see is a change in how the game is played even more than we already have. What we have now is an archaic relic of something that the five-man rotation seemed good. It worked for the Mets because they had five good guys and everybody followed them. What I think we'll see is further specialization, where we'll see certain pitchers that'll go 5 or 6 innings, certain games that'll be bullpen games where you pair a couple guys together to get through the first six, then use your 6th, 7th, and 8th inning guys. Your closer will move around. You'll have guys who will throw 2 or 3 innings. I think we're going to be able to manage their workload properly, make it safer for them, and put them in better situations. It's just not going to look like what we're used to. I don't think we're actually going to have de facto rotations or very many starters in the modern sense. 5-10 years from now.
Well, Carroll, before we let you go, I want to switch gears for one moment. What should fans expect of Aaron Rodgers as he returns from the broken collarbone that he had surgery on and he returns from this week?
he's good. he's pretty good at this quarterbacking thing. I think he should stick with it. The collarbone is healed. The plate held allowed him to go through the rehab perfectly. And think about this. We all know somebody, little Timmy fell off his skateboard, broke his collarbone. We all know somebody that slipped on the ice and broke their arm. Do you know anybody that didn't heal?
No.
I mean, there's not many of those out there, especially when they're getting world-class medical care. Bones heal. It's a fairly simple injury. Aaron's had the best of care. He's in great shape. He's going to come back. One of the things I saw last week when he was throwing the ball is he's got that little leg whip. If you watch his back leg, it comes up and kicks out. That's back. And when he does that, he's putting a ton of force into the ball. He's got some of the highest arm speed that's ever been measured at the NFL level or anywhere. So once I saw that, I said, he's going to be okay. We'll have to see whether he can bring the Packers all the way back. The other thing, it's not just him. We've seen a lot of these kind of injuries, of shoulder injuries. If you hit it directly, it breaks the collarbone. Or even the internal structures of the shoulder. We've seen guys that land and separate their shoulder, like Tom Brady and Jameis Winston. We've seen guys that get knocked back and tear their labrum, like Andrew Luck, and that's cost him the better part of 2 years. We have to find a way to protect the shoulder. Shoulder pads, as we have them now, do not protect the shoulder from these kind of impact injuries. The only way to do it is to either block better or come up with some rule that doesn't allow these guys to have it, unless Tony Stark's going to let Aaron Rodgers borrow that Iron Man suit.
Will Carroll, always great to have you with us. Thanks for all the info. We appreciate it, and have a good time down there in Orlando.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
See you later. That is the injury expert, Will Carroll, with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Well, the Cardinals have a new outfielder and a new slugger. We'll tell you about it next as we bring you your Hot Topics of the Day on 101 ESPN. We do not know who is going to Miami yet, but we do know that the Cardinals have acquired Marcell Ozuna, the all-star left fielder from the Miami Marlins. The deal will be announced apparently tomorrow after Ozuna passes a physical. And one of the names that seems sure to go to Miami is Sandy Alcantara, whom the Marlins had interest in the talks with the Cardinals about Giancarlo Stanton. But Ozuna, a major upgrade for a team that needed a power bat in the middle of their lineup. 37 homers, 124 RBIs last year, and a 924 OPS.
If you like that sort of thing, and I know, Ranj, especially, you're into sabermetric numbers. WRC plus is a good one, right?
The way it runs created.
People like that. So he was behind Trout, Judge, and Stanton were Pham and Ozuna. Like, those were your next two.
It's unbelievable, right?
So that's pretty darn good to put those have those guys in the lineup for next year. And without knowing the back end of this trade, I still feel like I can firmly say this is a good deal for the Cardinals. They had a need, and they dealt from a position of strength right now. They have a lot of arms. They have a plethora of outfielders, and it was crazy to hear that Piscotty or Grichik and Tyler O'Neill, the kid that they got from Seattle, none of these, Bob Nightingale reported once again, mm-hmm. were not part of this trade. But they have a lot of room to work. They have a lot of assets right now, and the Cardinals are wielding them.
And Derek Gould reporting that one of the names the Marlins were interested in when they were having the Stanton talks originally was Adolis Garcia. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him involved in this deal. But I think this is a good one. I was concerned that it would be like a Weaver and Flaherty sort of situation to get him in return and maybe another prospect. I'm glad they did not do that. They do have outfield prospects and pitching prospects they can deal from, and they'll still be okay because they have others left over. And I'll tell you what, guys, if they have another season from Tommy Pham like they had last year, if they have another season from Ozuna like we had last season, that's a much improved lineup. And I still don't think they're done. We have heard the reports. Mm-hmm. They're interested in maybe Josh Donaldson, maybe Manny Machado. I don't know how likely either of those situations are because we've heard the Blue Jays want to add, not subtract. And I don't know exactly what the Orioles want to do, but if the Cardinals pick up another bat, this could really be a great offseason for them.
Mike Matheny on the prospect of getting another bat. Hopefully we'll wind up with another. And there are other things going on at the winter meetings, but this clearly, because the Stanton trade took place before the meeting started, is the biggest deal of the winter meetings.
Yeah, it is. This is great news for the Cardinals, and that's the thing. And Mike talked about it there. This work is not done. This franchise still has some holes in it. It would be great to acquire one of those bats. I know Machado is going to be a big talking point for everybody. It's going to be very difficult to get a deal like that done for that guy, and it would cost a lot. I still believe the Orioles need to move on from him. just for their franchise's future, but a tough sell sell on their end. But I am very intrigued with the rumors about the Rays. With Archer, with Colome, with Longoria. I don't know exactly what the perfect fit is, but I know that you could fit all three of those players over here.
Yeah, it would certainly improve this club. And I will say this for the Cardinals. They deserve some praise right now because they identified their two top guys. And the first one was one that was out of their control. They put the best deal on the table.
Mm-hmm.
The Marlins wanted it. They couldn't do it because the player said, no, I just don't want to go there. Well, that's true. I have a feeling that maybe he wasn't being entirely truthful. But I think they did absolutely everything they could to get that. It didn't work out. That was out of their control. So then they identified number two to them, which isn't a distant number two, really. If Ozuna does what he did last year, that's a really damn good player
like
they just picked
season,
up today.
But he was on the wrong team.
And you know what? They got him. They went and got him.
The St. Louis Blues were shut out by Tampa Bay last night by a score of 3-0. Today, the Blues have assigned goalie Ville Husso to San Antonio and recalled Jordan Binnington to be the backup. Jeremy Rutherford reporting that Carter Hutton did practice yesterday. The Blues had an optional skate today, and Hutton should be getting close. The Blues were missing arguably their two best all-around players last night. You know about Jordan, Jaden Schwartz. He's out for 6 weeks. And also with Alex Pietrangelo placed on IR, and he's out for a week, the Blues will be missing what I would consider their two best all-around players for the next week.
Well, it's a tough stretch right now with a lot of games, but if you are going to rest some of your guys, I guess, well, not rest necessarily, but if you are going to be cautious at a point, be cautious now, like when the games are so shortly spread out, and you give them a little bit of a chance to recover. This is about being healthy at the right times. Like, this is about having your guys when you need them the most, and each night I know the points count, and I still believe that this team can battle, they can fight, and they can win without their best players, but it's going to be difficult. That's all right, as long as some of these guys are back soon. Soon would be Petro back soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I still feel pretty confident with what they've done. This is going to be a tough stretch. Like you said, last night was about as frustrating a game as we have seen from them. I don't know if we've seen one more frustrating because of the amount of opportunities they had. And somehow Vladimir Sobotka missing a goal that I Meat wouldn't have stopped that, I don't think. You think he would have stopped it?
Yeah, I think he would have.
You think he would have stopped him on that one too? Yeah. That was bad. Wide open net.
It happens, guys.
It does happen.
It happens.
It does.
Yeah. The Billiken basketball program is off until Saturday night when they take on Oregon State. That is a 9:30 contest St. Louis time. Mizzou's basketball team is next in action against North Florida, and that game is Saturday night as well at Mizzou Arena. By the way, the Blues back in action tomorrow night as they host the Anaheim Ducks. So those are all the schedules.
Oh, good. Billikens look good, by the way, last night. That damn right he did. That French kid, he's all
yeah.
right.
Last well, 30 minutes were dominant.
He's not from France.
No, Hassan French. Yeah. Frenchie is his nickname.
Right.
He was good.
He's a pretty good player.
They played really well. After about the 10-minute mark of the first half, they rolled those Murray State Racers. And that's a good team, Murray State.
Murray State was a March Madness darling a couple of years. Oh, good for them. That is nice to see. Either way, I'm the most excited about just continual trade rumors. How about Juan Nicasio? The Cardinals obviously still kicking the tires on him.
You have to.
The Mariners are apparently closer to a deal on him. Have we hit on the Piscotty stuff much? Or rumors that Piscotty is they might have a deal close in Oakland. So we'll see more on that. Like, there are just so many things swirling around the St. Louis Cardinals right now, and that's fun.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. BT and I did in your absence, Randy, and you can join in on this conversation. I think the Cardinals are arguably the most fascinating team this winter.
I would agree with that. And we'll find out if Greg Amsinger agrees with that. The MLB Network anchor will join us next as we roll on in the fast lane on 101 ESPN. This is Greg Amsinger's favorite time of year with everything going on at the winter meetings and the Cardinals making moves. Greg is with us now on the Lufia's Kia Celebrity Line. Of course, he is the lead anchor for MLB Network. He'll be on MLB Tonight later. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. And Randy, I want to just pick your brain. You must be thrilled for our friend Bob Costas, right? Freaking award winner. How great is that?
It is awesome. And you and I are thinking along the exact same lines, because that was the first thing I wanted to bring up. One of the first people I met when I entered the business, and your colleague, Bob Costas. And nobody cares more about the sport or does a better job of bringing the sport to America than Bob Costas. And I couldn't be happier than I am that Bob will get the Ford Frick Award this summer.
You know, one of the surreal moment I just had it. We have offices here at the Dolphin Resort in Orlando, and our production staff are all sitting around this big boardroom table, and we've got MLB Network on, obviously, and Bob Costas is not here with us. He's in the New York City area, but he's in one of our studios doing a satellite interview with Brian Kenny, who's live here in Orlando, and we're watching it. And sitting right next to me is Keith Costas, who's a researcher on our show. Keith, who hasn't seen his dad yet to say congratulations, is watching his dad talk about this great honor. And Bob was, you know, emotional while he talked about it. It was just cool. I was sitting right next to Keith watching his dad talk about the honor from the Hall of Fame to be the Frick Award winner. It was pretty cool.
And by the way, you have seen a lot of Hall of Fame speeches. I can guarantee you right now that we will never see a Hall of Fame speech better than the one that we'll get this coming summer from Bob.
I mean, think about it. The guy gave the eulogy at Mickey Mantle's death. I mean, are you kidding me? He understands how to give a speech. And, you know, you can watch Bob talk and you just see him, like, he blinks a mile a minute when he needs to. If he really has to dig down deep, I cannot imagine the roller coaster ride that will be his speech. He will make sure it's unpredictable. It'll be eloquent. It'll make you walk away feeling emotional, thrilled that you saw it, and you'll recognize that you're just never going to see anyone like him again. Yeah. He's the greatest of all time in terms of the studio host for sports. Bob Costas is number one. He's number one.
Well, exciting day for Bob Costas for sure. And Greg, as you very well know, exciting day for St. Louis Cardinal fans who finally get a little power in the middle of their order. I know this deal's not done yet, but Marcell Ozuna to the Cardinals. But what was your first thought here?
I've been saying his name for a long time on this show, have I not?
Yep.
Have I not been saying Marcell Ozuna is a game changer? I think this guy's great. Look, you get 2 years of control. That's not the best thing in the world. He's a Boris guy, so the chances of him staying in St. Louis past 2 years isn't super promising, but we've seen players come to St. Louis and fall in love. And you know what we're going to do on the show? I'm going to be live in about an hour and 10 minutes, 3-hour show of MLB Tonight. We're looking back at how this is part of Cardinal history, where they have a good team, but they need the bopper. Only twice have they kind of developed someone from their own system. And those guys were the signature middle of the order bat, Albert Pujols, Stan Musial. Other than that, they really go trade for that piece. And what it is a credit to the pro scouts. Because when they trade for these middle of the order bats, they always pan out. I mean, we're only going back to 1980s with Jack Clark. Trade for Jack Clark, signature bat, he leaves. Obviously, Mark McGwire. People need to remember Fernando Tatis was great when they traded for him, and then he eventually left. Scott Rowland came over and was a monster from the Philadelphia Phillies. This is what the Cardinals do. This is their track record. They have a middle-of-the-order bat. Matt Holliday is the most recent. So Marcell Ozuna is going to fall right in line with that, and I think he's going to be great. And the outfield is going to be money. I mean, Tommy Pham and Dexter Fowler, and now Marcell Ozuna. It's athletic. It's got slugging now. The Cardinals needed a bopper. And I think all of a sudden, this one deal, they need some help with the bullpen. This one deal makes you go, okay, let's compare rosters here. Do I like the Cubs or do I like the Cardinals? I'm telling you, people outside of St. Louis are taking the Cardinals right now, all because of the Marcell Ozuna trade.
Yeah, I think pretty much everybody here locally looking at the deal feels pretty good for the Cardinals and what they've acquired. If there is anything that might be concerning, it's that he's had this one breakout year. Prior to this, it wasn't. It didn't look anything like what 2017 looked like for him. What are the things that you saw from him, though, that make you confident he'd be able to do this once again?
And that's a great question. Anytime you see someone break out, you want to look at the player and the swing and see, are the mechanics the same? If the mechanics are identical and he just had a breakout year, then you're going, fishy. But Carlos Pena did a great breakdown tape last night, all focused on Marcell Ozuna's hands And in 2016, his hands were up. 2017, he dropped his hands almost to his waist, almost Eric Davis-esque. Remember Eric Davis of the Reds, how not that low, but it had that kind of it was equal to his belt buckle almost. He dropped his hands down, and it shortened his swing, a more compact swing, not as violent of a swing. And he was doing everything that we saw Giancarlo Stanton do for the most part. Stanton had more traditional superpower. But Marcell Ozuna looks like he figured it out. And if you see a dramatic change in someone's swing mechanic and then it clicks, like Giancarlo Stanton, he closed off that stance. For anyone to think that 59 home run season was a fluke, you're wrong. He's going to be a 50 to 60 homer guy every year as long as he stays healthy. I look at Marcell Ozuna the same way. What you saw last year is only going to get better because while no one will say Busch Stadium's a bandbox, it is compared to Miami. And this kid gets 30-plus home runs in Miami. You're looking at a guy that could play with 40 home runs, and that is what the doctor ordered for the Cardinals.
Greg Amzinger, MLB Network, with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN and MLB Tonight starting at 5 o'clock. Okay, Mike Matheny said that he wouldn't rule out the Cardinals getting a second bat. Give us the most logical name or names that would fit that bill of the second bat for the Cardinals to get at these winter meetings.
Well, you keep hearing third baseman, and the Cardinals want Alex Colome. The Rays, if they're going to trade him, they've already, you know, moved a few pieces, but this is a franchise that's ready to detonate their roster. The Cardinals might take on an Evan Longoria. A Colome Longoria package to St. Louis for a package of prospects that would be much more painful to those of you that get emotional about the Cardinals farm system than the talent that's going to Miami for Marcell Ozuna. The Cardinals are prepared to pay a hefty price, take on multi-years of a contract of Evan Longoria that more than likely won't age all that well. He can still play a decent third base, but Longoria, to me, could be that next bat that goes to St. Louis. And I'll say this, I know Evan Longoria covered him for years. Cardinal fans will be obsessed with him. I think they like him and his style of play and who he is and what he's about. He's a better fit as a player, as a guy, the Cardinal brand, right, which I understand. He's a better fit than Josh Donaldson. When that name gets thrown out there, Randy, I'm sure you agree, there's certain players you just can't see wearing a Cardinal uniform. I can't see Josh Donaldson wearing a Cardinal uniform. I can see Longoria doing it. Their sights are totally set on Colome. They love him. If there is another bat, don't be shocked if it's Longo.
And I don't think there's a great deal of self-awareness on the part of the Toronto Blue Jays at the moment. In that division with the Yankees, with Stanton, with the Red Sox, and they're probably going to get J.D. Martinez, the Blue Jays aren't going anywhere, but I don't think they understand that.
It's weird. I was talking to Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, yesterday. He was on our show. And he's not, like, completely committed to being all in, but they're still openly trying to rebuild their farm system. Well, how you can't do both. That's the one thing I say. You know, the winter meetings are fun because fans are here. So many fans get a chance to talk to all of them. And I always feel bad for an Oriole fan that I meet because they're not all in, but they're not rebuilding. And there's nothing worse when you are a fan, when your team's in the gray area. In St. Louis, how wonderful is it that your team's always all in? That's a great thing. It's a great place to be. But if you're not all in, bust the whole thing up. I mean, looking back, it worked for the Houston Astros. It just did. Now, maybe the Miami Marlins with this new ownership, they're doing the same thing. But the Toronto Blue Jays are in a gray area right now. They think their starting pitching is good enough to win the East. They think Sanchez could be a Cy Young Award winner. They think Marcus Stroman, you know, had one of the more overlooked pitching seasons of 2017. They like their pitching, but it is nowhere near good enough. And when you go around the diamond and you look at their position players, I mean, if Tulo hits 40 home runs, maybe they got a shot. But what are the chances that happens? I'm with you. I don't see clear direction and focus, and the Blue Jays in trouble.
Greg, I want to go back to the Rays for a second, and we were talking about Colome, and we were talking about Longoria. I mean, what the heck? While you're at it, what are the chances they just sprinkle in a Chris Archer?
I don't see that. The Cubs are the team that keeps kicking the tires on Archer. The Rays don't want to give anybody away. What the Rays are doing is not what the Miami Marlins are doing. The Rays do not want to do anything but win the trade, whereas the Marlins are just dumping money and just trying to completely start from scratch. So that's why we haven't seen a deal yet from one of their signature players. But Archer's the guy that's going to be on the move. And when there's a team that's primarily focused on one player, that's the team that usually is closer to giving them the package that they want. So I do think at the end of the day, it's going to be the Cubs. But if it's not the Cubs, watch out for the Milwaukee Brewers for Chris Archer, because the Brewers understand that they have to continue to build on the momentum of 2017, where the guy that should have won the National League Manager of the Year, in my opinion, Craig Counsell, because he did the most with less. I think Counsell should have won it. I think the Brewers need to keep that fan base excited. And the issue with Archer is that 4 years left of control. It's club friendly. He's got great stuff. And in that contract, think of Adam Eaton. Adam Eaton wasn't worth the pitching prospects they traded for, but his contract was. So the contract of Archer is the pitching equivalent to Adam Eaton. They're going to have to give up a haul to get him. The Cubs are working on that, and so are the Brewers.
So if it is the Cubs or the Brewers for Archer, then what do the Cardinals do in terms of addressing the rotation? Because it doesn't sound like they're completely satisfied with what they have.
I don't see them getting a frontline big-name guy. They might bring back Lance Lynn. In terms of free agent starting pitching, I think that's the guy that they're interested in. They know him well. His medicals are that is a second language to them at this point. They understand the guy, his want to, you know, his makeup. I think if they bring back a high-priced pitcher, it's the one they know the most, and that's Lance Lynn. If they do not bring him back, I see a four or a five starter going to St. Louis, but they think Weaver is the real deal. Reyes is going to be coming back at some point. Carlos Martinez cannot be what he was last year. They're expecting much better numbers from Carlos Martinez. And then, of course, Adam Wainwright is always the enigma, but he's that leader, right? So Michael Wacha, don't forget him. There are names, and it's not a depleted rotation by any stretch of the imagination. Weaver's a huge impact there, and Reyes' health is significant. So I look at this team going, we might bring back Lance Lynn, but I don't think they're going to give up anything big to get a frontline starting pitcher.
Greg Amsinger, doing a show like yours specifically, and ours to an extent, but we talk about other sports. It's hard to go to a winter meetings without an awful lot of stuff happening. You guys have made it so compelling and fun. Every year you do it, even if there aren't trades happening. You guys make it a lot of fun at the winter meetings, and you give us food for thought. It's been great to watch this week.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I rarely get to pick on Ken Rosenthal Monday through Friday because I'm always on late. Ken Rosenthal is one of my favorite people in the world. We have a brotherly relationship. We're the odd couple. You know, I'm a giant. I'm awkwardly tall. People don't really know that until they meet me. I'm 6'5", so I'm gangly. And Ken is not. So I'm all style. He's all substance. And we just, it flows, man. So every single day, I'm always picking on him. He picks on me. And it's fabulous. So I miss all these guys. I never get to hang out with the John Haymans and the Joel Shermans. And, you know, I even get to hang out with Brian Kenny, the other host. I don't get to hang out with these guys. So it's just fun that we're all here and we all have a great time at the winter meetings. And I recommend any baseball fan to come. It's an awesome event.
You are Aaron Judge and Rosenthal is Jose Altuve.
I'm going to tell him that. He's going to look at me and say, yeah, and who's the MVP?
Exactly.
I know that's what he's going to say to me.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it as always.
All right, guys, you're the best.
Thanks, brother. That is the great Greg Amsinger joining us from Orlando at the winter meetings on 101 ESPN. Greg will be on in an hour on MLB Tonight on MLB Network. Coming up next, we will have a listener that will participate in the 4 o'clock fight that is coming your way next here on 101 ESPN.